Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Phyllis Moore continues our series entitled, How to Reach Your Physical Goals. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free tape of today's teaching. And now, Mrs. Moore.
What is Christian's favorite pastime? Christians, immediately after church tonight, be honest now. This is the most important thing, is being honest. How many of you will probably go out and eat together to fellowship? Yes. I mean, most people will go out and eat, or, you know, Sunday after church, everybody grabs people, they go fellowship, they go eat. Well, we went to Bible school and we were in church 24/7. So that meant you were eating 24/7. And we started traveling with Brother Hagin, and we were with the prophet of God, and we were with the man of the hour that would draw in huge crowds and huge people. And so the pastors treat them like royalty. So they would close down restaurants. They would have the 6 or 8 of us in this restaurant, serve up the best food you could ever think of. Your mouth would water for days thinking about what you had the day before, you know. And what are you going to do? These people have closed their restaurants down. They serve you up with a platter of food, the best food that you could ever think of. So what happens when you go to a service, you sit for about 4 hours, you go to lunch, you eat, you go to the hotel, you take a nap, you go eat a snack before you go back to church, you know, because it's been several hours since you've eaten, and then you go to a service, sit for another 3 or 4 hours, and then you do what? Eat again. Well, that is a different lifestyle than jumping on my pogo stick going clear around the block all the time, you know, or riding my bicycle everywhere I went. But it's like we get in this frame of mind, and we believe that one has nothing to do with the other. You know, we convince ourselves that we're trying. Well, the thing about it was, I was trying, and probably had I not have been trying, I'd have weighed 600 pounds. Because it doesn't take much to run these bodies, to be honest with you. You know, it takes very little bits to run it, you know. And what happens is, with today's society, the portions are like 3 times what they're supposed to be in every restaurant that you go in. And if you eat everything that's on your plate, number one, you've eaten 3 times more than what you should have eaten to begin with. And that's before the appetizer and the dessert. So, you know, you got to start being realistic about some things. So that's what I had to finally do with some things. And the first point that I have tonight, so that if you're taking notes and you really want to care about whether you get, you know, your temper under control, or your smoking under control, or, you know, your body under control, or are you looking at porn under control, or, you know, you having affairs under control, or you want to lose weight under control, this is the very first most important thing that you have to do. And it's not your husband look at you and say, Phil, you know, you really need to get a handle on this, because that makes you defiant. It makes you bitter. It makes you defiant. You will fight like cats and dogs. Ask me how I know. Now, I don't have to tell you guys these things, but I want to help you. I mean, it's very important if you're suffering in some of these areas that you get help, because I want you, we are going to be the very best of who we can be. The very best, because God won't come back for all spotted up church, or somebody that's condemned, or somebody that's down on their self. He wants a spotless church. I mean, totally spotless. And if you're not in control of your flesh, then there's no way that you can be spotless, because that is incapacitating to you. So you've got to be able to do whatever he asks you to do, because you just don't know, you know, what the Lord wants done. So be ready. Always be ready. And so the very first thing that you have to do is John 8:32. I mean, we don't even have to turn there. Everybody in here can probably quote it. You shall know the what? Truth, and the truth shall set you free. The very first thing is honesty. And I know from my own perspective, every single time that, I mean, Christmas banquets were coming up, it was like World War III around our house. It was, because I didn't want to go. And I would blame everything else under the sun when it always came back down to being my weight was my underlying hidden issue. You know, I'd never tell him, because I already felt like he knew that, you know. And so, but I didn't want to go. So it would always be an issue with us. And when he'd bring it up, he'd say, well, Phil, what's bothering you? And I'd say, nothing. Y'all know, y'all have done that before. And nothing is bothering me. Because I didn't want to get into the issue about my weight. Because I was so defeated about it. Like I told you, I had tried everything under the sun. So I would get so defensive. He had answers that the Lord had given him to help me. He had revelation that the Lord had given him because he'd spent endless hours praying about it. But I didn't want to hear it from him. I didn't want him telling me anything about it. This was me. He ought to like me just exactly the way I am. If he loved me, he'd like me the way I was. Right? Nobody ever said that but me. So just don't wait. Yeah, y'all don't raise your hand. You know, there's several of you honest enough to raise your hand. So, I would say that, you know, I'd tell him, well, if you loved me, you'd love me just the way that I am. Well, I wasn't even thinking straight enough to realize it wasn't the weight that was bothering him. It was my attitude about the weight that was bothering him, you know? And so, the thing that in reality is, if I loved him, I would lose the weight. That's the reality. If you loved me, you'd love me the way I am. Well, God loves you, but not necessarily the way you are. He's constantly telling you things about yourself that you should change. Constantly telling you things about yourself. Okay, fix this. And if he gave you a whole list when you first got saved, you'd flake out. I mean, you'd just go ballistic. Because there's no way under the sun you could receive from the Lord what he wants you to change when you first get saved. It'd just be too much for you. You couldn't handle it. So he tells you things a little bit along. The more you grow, the more you learn. So the very first thing is being honest about it. Realizing I have a problem with this. How many have ever heard about AA? What's the very first thing that they do? They have to get up in front of people and they have to admit, okay, my name is John Smith. I am an alcoholic. Correct? Very first thing they have to do. Why is that they don't even realize the principle that they're setting there immediately, AA. I'm sure that they do because they're Christian based, but the thing about it is they may not realize the importance of what they're doing with that. Why is it important that the very first thing a person do is stand up and say, my name is John Smith and I'm an alcoholic? You have to admit it. You have to be honest and admit it. You have to quit pretending like it's not a problem. That it is a problem, whether it's temper or smoking or drugs or anything else, sex or porn or anything. You have to admit that you have a problem in that area. And I know that was one of my weakest points. I knew that I had a problem in that area, but I didn't want anybody else to know it. And most alcoholics know they have a problem in that area. And most people that have a temper know that they have a temper. Most people that do drugs know they have a problem, but they would never admit it. They would never let you know that they had a problem with it. So the very first thing is being honest about it. Recognizing that it does affect more than just your physical appearance. It affects your insides. It affects the person that you are. It affects who you are. So being honest with yourself. Admit there's a problem. Don't defend the problem when somebody tries to talk to you about it. When they try to talk to you about it, admit you have a problem. Like I said, Keith had a lot of answers that could help me, but I didn't want to hear them from him. And it wasn't until I grew spiritually that I was even open to hearing answers from him. So y'all know 1 John 1:8. Put it somewhere where you can see it if you're having a problem with this. Admit that there's a problem. Be honest about the problem. I'm going to throw this in, and I know it's a very touchy thing, but it's something that I want to plant a seed in, and you can put it on the shelf, you can throw it away, you can do with it what you want to. But 1 Corinthians 11:7 says something that I never wanted to look at. The last part is all I want you to really look at. For a man indeed ought not cover his head, for as much as he is the image of and the glory of God, but the last part. What does it say? Read it with me. The woman is the glory of the man. So it does matter. Why do you think, now men, don't get mad at me, but why do you think, please don't get mad at me, because it's true. I mean, it's just almost embarrassing that some men, not you men, because Keith went over it with you last week, and that a woman can bat their eyes at you and it doesn't faze you. You know, we went over that last week, right? So, but some men, it does not matter how dumb a person is, so long a woman is, so long as she looks good. You know, the dumb blonde scenario. He'll leave 12 wives that's put them through medical school, that's done everything under the sun and raised their kids for somebody, you know, one of our board members, you know, he was so funny. He'd said when he got 40, he was going to get two 20s. So, and his wife said, you're not wired for 220. So, but anyhow, they're pretty funny like that. But you understand what I'm saying. It is a deal. It's a deal that sometimes men, like, they get older and they want somebody younger that looks good because of this verse. There's more to it than just the funniness of it. Because the woman is the glory of the man. And whether you care about the way you look or you don't care about the way you look, we do have to come back to what the Word says. And if we don't come back to what the Word says, then we only are defeated all of our lives. Because if we only apply parts of the Word to our lives, then God can only bless us in parts. And you needn't think that, you know, you're broke and you're sowing, but you're rebelling from God in every other area of your life, and He's going to be able to bless you. It doesn't work that way. You know, God wants you wholehearted, spirit, soul, and body. And when you sow yourself to God, that's the most important thing you can sow to Him. Money is easier sometimes for rich people to give than it is their time or themselves or anything else. So He wants every part of you. The next step in this is, after we know that the woman is the glory of the man, is humbling yourself and asking for help. Now, some people have done that to an extent by going to Weight Watchers or going to diet centers or going to anger management classes or going to Smokeaholics Anonymous or whatever they call it, you know, and, they've done it to an extent. But how many of you, you know, that, say for instance, smokers, and they've got those patches and they've got that gum, you know, everything under the sun to help smokers quit, pills and everything else. But, you know, if you don't want to quit, you can put 26 patches on your arms and you're still going to smoke. I mean, those patches do not stop you from smoking. They help you to stop smoking. They will not keep that cigarette from going into your mouth. You got to want it. You got to make a conscious decision that I want this more than I want anything else. You've got to decide. And then when you do that, there are aids in most of the areas to help. Say you do have a severe temper. Say you constantly are abusing your kids or abusing your wife. Or say you are an alcoholic. Or say you are addicted to porn. Or say you are anything. Not just weight. There are things that can help you.
And that concludes today's message by Phyllis Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching entitled, Look Inside, you may write to More Life Ministries, Post Office Box 1010, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you may call our offices at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. The offer number is R109. That's R109, and the tape will be sent to you postage paid. For more information about this ministry and an itinerary of upcoming meetings, please visit our website at www.morelifenow.org. Also, if you are visiting in our area, we invite you to attend service with us at Faith Life Church in beautiful Branson, Missouri. Service times are Friday evenings at 7:30 and Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.